growing your business doesn't have to be difficult. It's all about mastering a few key techniques, systems, and mindsets. Welcome to Foot Traffic, the podcast dedicated to helping you grow your small business. I'm your host, Stacy Tuschel. I've been an entrepreneur for over 15 years, and I own multiple seven-figure businesses. Together, you and I are going to get you more customers in the door, more profit in your pocket, and more happiness in your home. Let's transform your business starting right now. Hey there, welcome back. Today we have a special guest. Today, Ali Casaza is going to be here. She has really changed. I've been talking about her nonstop if you have been following me, but she has really changed the way that we have looked at minimalism and just getting rid of things in our home and just not just only decluttering, but finding, keeping things that we love, that we truly love. And I'm a big believer in that, not just in your house, but in your business, on your schedule, right? The people you work with. We are choosing every single day whether or not this person or this thing or this item should be a part of our lives, right? So Ali has been, I mean, she has been featured all over the place. The Today Show, Good Morning America, The Huffington Post, ABC News. Like, she has been truly everywhere. She is a mom of four. She homeschools on top of running a crazy successful business. You are going to want to check her out. We're going to give you all of the details coming soon. So definitely stay tuned for today's episode. Hey there, and welcome back to another episode. I'm super excited because Ali Casaza is here. And Ali, before we kind of jump and dive right in, I want to tell you how I found out about you. So my friend, Robin Long, I've been in a mastermind with her for many, many years. I trust Robin so much. And she said, she posted on Instagram and was like, you have to take this challenge. It's coming up in January. My friend Ali Casaza is doing it. I'm like, I don't know who this girl is, but I'm going to check her out. I love to declutter. And I immediately was going, oh my goodness, I have got to share her with my audience. Like, this was just so perfect. So thank you so much for being here today. I'm so excited to have you.
Yeah, I'm so glad that you did declutter like a mother. That's the best.
It was so good.
I love it. I look forward to it every year.
Yeah, and it was a good time of the year to really find out about you. I was binging your podcast over the holidays, and I kind of came right into January going, it's time to really make a change in the house. And, you know, it's funny because in January, there was a lot of talk of Marie Kondo and everybody wanting to watch her show, and people kept asking me, oh, are you doing the Marie Kondo thing? I'm like, nope, I'm doing the Ali Casaza thing. And the reason I like you a lot more than what I was seeing out there was because you have kids. And you talk about a lot of things. I mean, I was really clean before I had kids. My house was perfect before I had kids.
Yeah.
Now it's a different story. And I like that you share tips on that. So we're going to get into a lot of that today because we have a lot of moms here.
Yay. Yeah. I'm ready. Let's go.
All right. So can you give me a little bit of your background? I mean, we have entrepreneurs listening, so they're going to want to hear your success story. And you've been on the Today Show and just amazing places like that. So fill us in with your background.
Yeah, absolutely. So I was a stay-at-home mom. We had, you know, our four kids, and my husband worked for a really large company just like installing internet and TV and like big corporate buildings and stuff like that. And basically we knew we were where we were supposed to be. I had never really felt like, even though I always had an entrepreneurial spirit, I don't know that I really recognized that yet. And I just kind of was just really innovative and creative in wherever my role was at. And at that time, that's where I needed to be. That's where I wanted to be. And I never really thought we'd do anything else. But we were kind of always making ends meet, like barely. It was super hard. And then we took a job with the same company out of state. And they had basically just been super dishonest about what the job entailed. And we left to have a better life because we're from Southern California, which is where we live again now. But we were like, you know, this job, this family size, just not really vibing out here. We need to go. So we moved to the Midwest and we're kind of like hoping for a better life, and things just got way worse. It led to like our car got repossessed. We had to leave the little place that we had moved into to kind of start out and find like what city we wanted to live in, because we didn't know anyone or anywhere out there. And it just got really, really, really tough. Like, it was real. It was just terrible. And so I basically was like, I'm sitting on this blog that I've had for years and years just as a hobby. and I'm going to do something with it. And it was weird because I remember realizing, like, as soon as I decided, kind of just in myself, that I could do something, all these ideas flooded in. Like, I just knew what I wanted to do. And I kind of just had this conversation with my husband, and he was like, well, you've always kind of been an entrepreneur. Like, you've always just had all these ideas and you've never really done anything with it. And I, like, him saying that to me kind of helped me realize, like, yeah, I am an entrepreneur. I'm going to do this. And yeah, it was just, I don't know. I think as a mom, especially starting out so young, mm-hmm, you sometimes don't know who you are.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways. And that was my story. We, you know, we got married super young and thought we couldn't have kids, got pregnant with our daughter right after we got married. Like, it just was like snowball effect. Mm-hmm. And then, oh wait, I have a brain and something that I want to do. And so it was kind of like that. But then I basically, when I get, like, when I sink my teeth into something, I really, like, I'm all in. And so I just went all in on this thing, and I figured out, you know, I didn't want to do ads. I didn't want to do sponsorships. I just, especially because podcasting wasn't really the thing then, it was blogging.
Yeah.
And
right,
it just felt icky to me. Like, I just, yeah, I don't know. I think it was a time where my pride served me really well, because I just don't like begging and asking. Like, mm-hmm, it felt really slimy and like, oh, just click this link and buy this shirt that I'm saying that I like, but I really hate. Like, I don't know. Right. I just wasn't a fan. And so I started to research, like, is there another way? And I found courses, and I had an ebook that I launched and thought it was going to be my big thing, and it totally flopped. And courses was what I went to next. And that, I think, just my voice, the tone that I talk in, the way that, mm-hmm, I teach, really connected on the course platform.
Yeah.
And that really did well. So obviously I'm summarizing, we had to hustle, yeah, a lot, but that picked up, and we went viral a couple of times right around the Trump-Hillary election. And the article that I had written was trending over the first debate for like 3 or 4 days.
Wow.
On Twitter and Facebook, which was crazy to me, but it told me that moms need this. Like, they needed, mm-hmm, my message, and it kind of just launched my business, and it launched my desire to really spread this message as far as I can.
Yeah. Okay. I love that. So a couple things I want to unpack that you said. When your husband had said to you, you've always been an entrepreneur, it was like your identity changed in that moment. Now all of a sudden you could see yourself. And I think that's huge, because if we don't identify as an entrepreneur, it's hard to really act as if we are an entrepreneur. So I think that's a really big shift. Now, not a lot of people can successfully change from a hobby to a real business. It can be really difficult. Mm-hmm. Do you think, like, what happened for you? Was it kind of like you felt like you were at rock bottom? Like, how did that happen for you guys?
So, I mean, the rock bottom thing definitely happened. It definitely gave me internally what I needed to, mm-hmm, go and really go all in, because it's a lot. I mean, I lost sleep. I lost moments, you know, going from stay-at-home mom to like full-on starting a business. Like, I had to accept that I was losing out on something that I had before, but I didn't need to see it as negative. Like, I realized that it's just different. So it was just an adjustment. But then in terms of the business, I kind of just decided that this wasn't an option. It was, yeah, going to happen. And I just figured out every step of the way, like, okay, how can I position myself as this person that I know what I'm doing? I've been blogging about simplicity and what it did for my family, what it did for my budget, my motherhood, my marriage, like everything, for years, mm-hmm, but not getting anything for it.
Right.
And that's not really right. And I'm not, mm-hmm, cool with that anymore. And so it just kind of like, I felt like in a movie, like when like the hero realizes who he is and like he's the prince and he just goes and takes what's rightfully his. I kind of felt like that. It was like a very like music playing in the background, Mulan, like getting her armor on, like moment.
Right. Right. I love that. Okay. So I would say you're very intentional too. I think I might've listened to a podcast where you talked about that viral post and how you intentionally were researching how to make a post go viral. So
yeah,
let's just talk about that, because people might go, oh, that she's so lucky that it went viral and then all this stuff happened, but it's more than that. So let's go into that before we jump into the simplicity part.
Sure. Yeah. So it actually really bothers me when people say, yeah. I mean, I don't know. I'm sure that happens to you all the time, even mm-hmm. just about the business as a whole, people are like, wow, you guys are so lucky that happened. And I'm like, I have to like hold my husband back because he's like gearing up to like punch somebody. like flashback, like all the sleepless nights and like tears and meltdowns. Mm-hmm. But the virality is something that anybody can do. And I've done it again since then. And I'm working on doing it again. I can definitely give you the links to some of the articles that taught me what to do. So you can share with the listeners because I think it's really powerful.
Yeah, I would love that.
I always get the guy's name wrong. So I'll just leave his name out. I'll share with you the article on Video Fruit, the Video Fruit blog. And it basically just, there's a lot out there. I encourage anyone. I'm sure that there's more out there now, but like just research, like everything can be learned. And I think that we're in such an incredible time where the Google search bar is like, it's better than higher education and college in a lot of ways. Like if you mm-hmm. know where to look and you've got a good head on your shoulders and you can sift through stuff, like there is, you can learn anything. I taught myself how to code. I taught myself how to do YouTube marketing and video creation. I mean, I wanted this and I wanted wealth and success and to get my family out of a hole. And so you have that deeper drive. I also wanted other women, like everywhere I looked was just these signs, like good moms have sticky floors and happy kids and this like idea that you have to choose and women complaining about their husbands and just nagging and whining. And I wanted to spread that message of you're owning this, like mm-hmm. whether you realize it or not, like, is this how you want to own it? That you complain all the time and you have to pick if your floors are sticky, like, gross. No. And you know, not like you can have it all, but you know, you can have the life that you want. Days are going to be crazy. Like we just had a vomit fest upstairs and it is what it is. And I just came down here and took a deep breath and then coughed on this interview. Like it's life, but you know, we can choose to own our time. What happens in your mornings can typically be controlled by you, but you've got to say, like, I want to own it. I wanted to spread that message and change the way women see motherhood. So I think first step to virality is having a passion in yourself to be seen, because you will be seen and things will be said about you that are terrible, that I'll never forget, that I read. Mm-hmm. Articles were going around about me, comments on ABC News, like terrible, terrible things and random things that have nothing to do with the post. Like it's hard.
Were you ready for that?
I was. Yeah, okay. I was ready. I knew. Yeah, and I think that's the difference between like, I have a friend that's really good friends with Chewbacca Mom. Do you remember her?
Yes.
Her viral post.
Yeah.
And I think that's the difference between somebody like that was just
accidentally.
Like a funny accident.
Yeah.
Yeah. Versus someone who's planning for a business from the business perspective to go viral and get that attention I knew. And it was like, I nothing could stop me. I didn't care. The other comments of like, oh my gosh, light bulb moment. Like my whole life is different. You know, it was worth it. So have that purpose in you that's going to drive what you're saying, because the main thing that I learned about going viral on purpose is having a story that is real and you feel it and you want people to understand something. And it was about how getting rid of our stuff saved my motherhood and got my time back and cured my depression. Like it's not that way for everybody, but it was for me. And so I just shared from there. And then also put an opt-in in the post. Don't forget. Okay. So I had like the perfect opt-in in that post. So I grew my email list by like 15,000 overnight. I had 20 grand in my PayPal account the next day and they were blocking me out.
Your course was already sitting there so they could buy immediately.
Yes. Have something ready. Like be ready. And that's the difference about intentional virality. Yeah. You're ready for it. And you don't care about the stupid, like, you know, you're chubby comments. Like,
right. And now you knew, how was it for your family? Did you have anything weird go like where they couldn't handle it because they're not built like you? You know what I mean?
You know what happened was not my like husband and kids. They were like excited and you know we could get food and clothes, so that was fun. But like we had a party, but everybody else it got weird.
Yeah.
Things started to shift. Like my outside family, like relatives and friends. Like, oh my gosh, I was just talking to my husband the other night about like this party happened and we didn't get invited. And I just noticed like, it was old news. Like I knew that the relationship had fallen away, but yeah. We were just reflecting on when, and it was then. Like people are weird. And I learned that a lot of people are kind of funny with that kind of stuff. And they're only your friend if you're doing not as good as they are.
Yeah.
And so that was, I think I would say confidently, that was the hardest transition of this entire life change that we've had, was just realizing that a lot of people just wanted to be around us because we made them feel better about their success until mm-hmm. we were all over the news, all over everywhere, and nobody could handle it.
Yeah. Okay. So good. So I think we have to really pause on the timing of everything. You had the opt-in post, you had the funnel that took them to the course. That could have been a huge missed opportunity of no emails, no buyers, because that can come and go very quickly. You got mm-hmm. to keep those people and engage them and get them even warmer. A lot of people miss that opportunity. So it's so big.
Absolutely. And I think it's important to go viral for what you're known for. Like yes. there's a lot of things I could say, but yeah. why, like there was one influencer who I love, she's an amazing person, but she's really, really well known for one thing. And she went crazy viral for an article that I think it did maybe help some people, but it really just caused a stir and ruffled feathers. And it had nothing to do with what she does for her business. And I just kind of thought like, after the hype, like who cares?
Mm-hmm.
And now actually can hurt you, because moving forward, if you go that viral, then people are going to recognize you as, you know, you're Chewbacca mom, or you're yes. the one that went viral for that post about this, you know, type of marriage or whatever it was. And it's like, who really cares if it's not serving you? And I mean, if the message is strong and you care about that, I mean, sure, but it wasn't really that. It was almost just like just to mess things up and make people upset. Yeah. And it worked, but why? Now your podcast numbers aren't going to be any better because nobody cares that you're teaching marketing.
Right. No, I totally get it. Now, okay, we got to get into the simplicity part of this, because that is what I just so fell in love with. And you know, I came to you, I can declutter my home a million times, and I've had to, because the strategies I was using was never really sticking, right? Mm-hmm. And I feel like with yours, I mean, I did this back in January. I have never been this consistent, and that's what I want to go over. So there's been a big shift. So how did you get into, I know you, I've heard you say like, you don't love the word minimalism, but you have to use it sometimes to get the point across, but let's just kind of dive in. How did you get into that? And what has that done for you?
Yeah. So summarizing, cause it's a long story. Before we had our fourth baby, so we had three under three, and we were doing the whole thing with the giant house, overstuffed with stuff and just like getting by. And I really just didn't realize it, but I was in a pattern of basically just getting my kids out of my way so I could catch up on housework. And I was living that way for a long time, as unfortunately, most moms do. If they really step back, they'll see that's what they're doing. And I just felt overrun, like underappreciated, overworked, like the whole thing. And my husband would come home after a long day of work, and instead of like, you know, eating together and sitting together and watching The Office, like I would nag and be like, can you help? Like, you think you had a hard day? Just ridiculous, because I was stretched so thin. That's all I could give. And so I basically had this day where I had this moment with God on my bathroom floor. Honestly, like I just laid there and sobbed and was like, I know that this cannot be it. Like this cannot be motherhood and your grand design. Like this cannot be. What am I doing wrong? Everybody seems to think that this is how it goes in these little years. And I just can't accept that I have to go all these other months and years and just get through it, like everybody's saying. And what he showed me was that, you know, look at, let's sit like I got this aerial view of my days. And that is what I saw, that all I did was clean up stuff that we didn't even need and shoo away all of my purpose and my babies and what I was here to enjoy. And it is hard to have little ones, but it can be a lot less hard if you make it easier for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I think I was expecting a philosophical, like drum level, like, oh my gosh, what a realization. I'm basically Socrates now. No, it was like, well, sweetie, like, you're cleaning up constantly. Right. What, you don't even need this stuff. So I purged. I mean, I just gutted my house like crazy that night. And that week was like every day. That's all I did. I canceled everything. The kids and I just, like, they crawled around and I just went crazy. And I, as I was going, I realized that I needed a guide for what stayed and what went, because this wasn't a trend, you know, 8 years ago. And so I realized, like, okay, like, let's look at purpose. That's always been my word. It's inked on my skin. It's super important to me. And so, like, what's the purpose of everything that I'm looking at? And so, like, for the kids' toys, for example, does this toy line up with the purpose that I want for my kids' childhood? Like, I'd always wanted them to have a really outdoorsy, explorey, imaginative childhood. This toy lights up and is plastic and makes all the noise and does all the playing for them. So mm-hmm. it goes. And I did that in my closet and in my kitchen. Like, I asked myself, like, what's the intent here? And that really made it stick. Mm-hmm. And it's the difference between, you know, sparking joy or, you know, minimalism for the sake of minimalism, like for the sake of just having less, like, what's the intention here? So that is what I did in my actual life. And then I started blogging and helping other women do that and realize that it made it stick.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the foundation of my philosophy. It's more like realistic and intentional, I think, and doable.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's where that intentional, that it comes back. It definitely does. And one big thing that I've realized for everybody listening is, I mean, I've been the most consistent, and the big times I've noticed is when we had my 5-year-old, she actually just turned 6, her birthday party. And what did we usually do before a birthday party? We would have to, like, not just clean the house, but we'd have to organize the house and put things from the counter and put them in this room and trying to pull them back out later. And you just, everything is just a disaster, right? And this was the first time where we actually went out the night before the birthday party because we didn't have to do that. Like, the house was already amazing, you know? And that's when I was going, wow, I actually get to enjoy my Saturday. I actually get to enjoy my time off, because as an entrepreneur, I'm working so hard during the week. I don't want to spend all weekend cleaning, you know? And that's what a lot of us do is, and not even just cleaning. We are just basically, like, going through the clutter. This room that I'm in right now used to be a toy room. I mean, a toy room filled with toys. Yeah. And I hated it. I had to come in this room every day. And I, even if I would clean, it just felt messy. And finally, one day I said to my husband, I'm getting rid of the toy room and I'm taking it over. And it's just been, those have been the things that have made me so much happier. And my kids haven't noticed anything. They haven't noticed that they didn't even care that this room was no longer the toy room or that they don't have toys in their bedroom anymore. Like, those have been game changers for us.
Yeah, absolutely. You don't realize how much you're weighed down by just, because it's normal. Like, you go to other people's houses and it's the same thing. And now, like, I started to notice that shift too. Like, I didn't really care about the house. Like, I'm not a crazy clean freak or anything. Like, I don't mind a little mess. It just doesn't bother me. But I did mind spending all my time on stuff. And I did mind freaking out and ruining everyone's birthday party because the day before I was losing it. you know, like, we still have to clean up, but it's so much less.
Yeah.
And my relationships got better. And that was crazy to me. Like, this matters. And people are not realizing it at all.
Yeah. No, I love the approach of really just loving everything you have. And you bring up a good point about clothes. You're like, I'm a clothes person. So when you said that, I'm like, thank you, because I'm not getting rid of my entire closet.
No,
but I want to love, but I do want to love everything I own. Like, why keep this if I love this one more, right? And it serves the same purpose. So that was a big one too. So what are some common mistakes that you see when people are trying to declutter, or they think they're going to take this on, but they don't last? Like, why does it not last?
I think, first of all, that they're kind of like, they hear me say something or they hear someone say something and they get all inspired, and then that's it. Like, they either do nothing or they kind of start, like, they do a junk drawer or something and then they just leave it. I think it's really important to understand the science behind this, that there are studies being done finally that are showing, like, you can do 40% minimum less housework a day if you just didn't have clutter. That your stress is literally, like, your high cortisol is literally tied to how much stuff you have in your house. That's That's a big deal. When you have, you know, that little black dress that used to fit you before you had kids and you see it every time you walk into your closet, that does something to you. It messes up your day a little bit. It messes with your subconscious, even if you don't realize that you, like, your peripheral vision picked up that dress is there. I've worked with widows who have their husband's stuff. It just hasn't moved in the closet for 2 years or more. That does something to you. You're, you know, the baby girl you lost, you know, 5 years ago, the dresses you were going to put her in, like, get it out, or get a different relationship with it and keep one, and then get like, don't hold on. We hold on to these things that are heavy. So it's so much more than just like, oh, I'm cluttered. You know, you're losing out on moments. You're definitely losing out on joy, and you're gaining stress. So it's, you have to understand that it's deeper than the surface stuff. And that can help keep you going. And then I think also, like, if it matters that much, then, like, if it's that important, shouldn't that be on your calendar somewhere? Isn't that something you should pencil in? Like, it's kind of like self-care. It's really important, and you can feel that gauge in yourself when you need that.
Yeah.
But we so often don't put it on our calendar. So it needs to be penciled in. Like, I realized when I kind of started, like, just petering out, like, I had been kind of just purging the stuff that was really obvious for, like, a few weeks, and it just kind of died out. And I kind of caught myself like, wait a minute, no, I don't want to lose this. It's working. And so I dedicated Monday mornings and Saturday mornings to decluttering, and I did it every single week. Even now, it's kind of funny because it's been like 7 or 8 years. And even now in Monday mornings, I always have them blocked out. I go to the gym, and then I come home, and I just kind of have like a household morning.
Yeah.
And I'll just like purge stuff while I'm cleaning, and just like, oh, I haven't worn this shirt in a few months. It's going, you know, it's just kind of stuck in my head. It's a habit. Mm-hmm. And that is, it's a lifestyle, just like eating well and moving your body. It's a lifestyle thing. It's not a one and done. There's actually a very, very prominent male minimalist who always says this, and it really bothers me. And he's been super rude and won't talk to me, so I can't ask him about it. But he says, if you ever have to declutter anything again, then you're doing it wrong. And it's like, where do you shop? Like, what kind of things are you buying that you never have to get rid of anything again?
Yeah.
Yeah, like $1 million jeans that like will never have to be thrown out. Like, what the heck? So it's, and I think too, like, he's not a parent. So
I think that kills me when I hear these guys.
Yeah, they're like, we're like super minimalist. Like, look at our house, and it's like, first of all, it looks like a grave. Like, it's empty and awful and has no life or joy at all. And like, what stuff do you even have to get rid of? Like,
yeah. Yeah, single guys should not be teaching minimalists or productivity. That kills me when they're talking about productivity. I'm like, you have children. You have no idea what we do.
You have no, like, you've literally never been interrupted. Like, stop. So it's super frustrating. And I just think it's kind of like, there's so many teachers out there who have come up in this trend in the last few years. Mm-hmm. And it bothers me because they're very legalistic about it. And it, all that does is like, I mean, probably not a great example to put on a podcast, but it's like religion when it's all about rules and like, do not do this. And if there's no like heart, people lose out on so much beauty, and they give them these rules. Like, you shouldn't have more than 3 pairs of jeans, and that's it. Just fact. Yeah. You're a single male who's straight down. I'm a curvy girl, and I've had a billion kids. Like, I need a lot more than 3 pairs of jeans. Like, what about my bloated days?
Right.
You know? Like, it's just silly. And you're not allowed to be yourself and find what works for you. And I think that coming back to your original question about like how to make it stick is the lack of legalistic rules will set you free and keep you going because you learn how to do this yourself. You're not like looking at a book like, okay, wait, what am I supposed to do with the fridge? Like, how am I supposed to do it? You're kind of more like, I give you tools and questions and core values, and you can take them and say, if I want this for my kids, then how should their toy room feel? Should we even have a toy room? Like, you can kind of ask yourself those questions and figure it out.
Yeah. And I definitely have been asking better questions at the store before I even buy something, or trying to, you know, when the kids want a toy or for birthdays, we're kind of giving better suggestions of what would be great toys for them and great options. So
yeah,
those plastic toys are the ones that we're always stepping on that nobody's even playing with. I mean, it's crazy what comes into your house. So
Absolutely.
I think that's huge. Now, how has minimalism come into your business? Like, how do you use your principles, but in a business aspect?
Yeah, that's a good question. And I think that's the thing about minimalism and simplifying at all. Once you realize that it works somewhere, like you want it to spill into everything else. And even like my health and eating, like things that just get blown out of proportion and overcomplicated, yeah. Like business, like it just makes you kind of like, well, wait, like just eat well and move more. Or, well, right. You know what? I'll just hire one VA and give her this and see how it goes. Like it's just, you can simplify everything. But I think minimalism and simplicity has had a big effect on my business. And I think that in one way, it's in content. Mm-hmm. There's so much out there telling us to write more, like just get on a schedule and just like you should be publishing every day. Like there was one really prominent blog leader way back when I was first starting blogging that said like you need to publish every day and then preferably you get up to multiple times a day. Wow. And this is blog posts. Yeah. I feel that podcasting is a little easier in terms of like time, especially with when you delegate everything else. It's like blogging is so like monotonous and just like, I'm like, I can't even. And so I was so overwhelmed by that. And I think that there's still some messaging like that. This is like more is better. And it's not. I will pull back on an episode and not publish it if it is not worth the time of those sweet moms that have so much else going on. Like yeah. If it is not worth her time, it doesn't go out. I don't care about my content schedule. I don't care about the numbers. I care if I'm here doing good with what I've been given.
Yeah.
And so that question has kind of seeped into everything. And I think that's been my simplicity anchor in the business is for like, sure. Am I doing good with what I've been given in terms of my audience, my money, my team? Am I doing well with it, or am I just trying to like, cause it's so easy to check off like, oh, I have to get an episode up for April 12th. Like right. Check,
yeah,
you know, but I'd rather skip an episode and disappoint everyone in that way than have them put their earbuds in and be like, that sucked. Like I could tell in a bad mood or that wasn't helpful. Like, you know, mm-hmm. So I think anchoring yourself to your purpose again, just like the virality, anchoring yourself to that purpose and like, why am I sitting down to record right now? Like, what do I want to say? And just kind of invite like that attitude of I'm here to serve, and show up in that way. And yeah. Anything else that doesn't feel like it lines up with that, let it go. Like even like big TV interviews and stuff, they'll want me to fly out like overnight, the same night away from my kids. And I'm like, yeah, cool, let's go. And other times it's like, it will wreck my week. It will wreck my peace and my family. I'll miss a baseball game. It's just not this week. I can feel it in my gut. So I think doing that in your business with everything, and not just saying yes to everything because it's there.
Yeah. Really being selective.
Yeah.
So what does your day look like with the kids being home, you're homeschooling them, your husband works at home with you. When do you get this all done?
So Brian, my husband, Brian, he does most of the homeschooling. I think a lot of people see my bio and they think that I'm doing all of it. And for a while I was, but I was not a very good person. Like I was just a terrible mom. I was yelling. I was just like, yeah, everything was getting done, but it wasn't very well. Like it wasn't good. So that's when my husband quit his job and came home. And now that we're homeschooling, we're really only, I always say this and it probably sounds terrible, but like, I don't really love homeschooling. We only do it because we love like the free lifestyle.
That's the part that's so tempting to me, but I'm like, I could not do this. But I do get so jealous watching people just like, oh, we're taking a trip tomorrow. You know?
Yeah. When no one else is. And you know, it's super fun. And because I do say yes to a lot of the travel stuff for work, it's fun to just take everyone with me. Yeah. And like, they've been to like every state and it's just really fun. But, in the day-to-day, it's a lot. So I focus on what I'm really good at, which is getting them excited about learning and like stories and creativity. And my husband is very like, he's just not a creative guy. I think that everyone's creative in some regard, but he's just not super inspired as a creative. And that's like my job. It's what I do.
Right.
So, you know, arts and language arts and stories and getting them excited about books. So they all love reading. So I think I've done my job so far. So things like that. But day to day, like Brian does most of the homeschooling. He's really more in the role of stay-at-home dad.
Okay.
And he does like background, like, oh my gosh, like I need to talk this out. Like, we'll, you know, get the kids in front of Netflix and sit together and like map out, you know, the new funnel or whatever. He doesn't realize what a marketing genius he is, but he is. So he's kind of like the sounding board, the background, like he's the person that you don't see that without him, this would all fall apart. But he's very, very like in the background, and he likes it that way.
Oh, for sure. My husband definitely is not somebody who's like wanting to be on camera and things like that, for sure.
Yeah, it's happened every once in a while. Like people will be like, oh, could you both come? And he's like sweaty and like, oh my gosh, how do I stand? I'm like, just be normal and relax. You're being a freak.
That's so funny. Now, working with your husband, I mean, that can be, especially working, being home, everything. Is that just like such a great benefit? I'm sure there are struggles. Is it been something you've always dreamed of, or did that kind of just happen?
Yes, that's what we always dreamed of. And that is basically the only reason that I even started the business was because we had always dreamt, and we felt dumb. I remember conversations like, that's not going to happen. But
right. It's
funny that we just said that. Like we would say like, it would be really great like if we could be together all the time. And it was just a weird thing that we always talked about. We had no like substance to it. Like how would this happen? But it's just something that we always talked about. And every morning he would leave for work and I never felt like, oh good. Like I just need a little bit of a break. I always wanted, cause I know some of my friends have just been so honest and they feel that way. And that's fine. But yeah, we just never felt that way. We were friends from childhood. I think that has to do with why we're the way we are together. And so when we got married, like we've always wanted to be together and raise the kids together. And Brian had a rough childhood. And so he really wanted to be involved. Like he's not like, you do you, like, let me know how it goes. I'll come in and discipline. Like he's really wanting to be there. So that was a big part of it. And there was definitely struggles, especially in the beginning. My husband actually kind of went through a little bit of a depressive bout right after he quit his job and came home, as happy as it was. It was kind of like, wait a second, who am I?
Yeah. Oh, you lose your identity completely. Yeah.
Especially being a male, like it was just really hard. And I think currently, like we're all over it and we laugh at it now, but currently, like I think for the rest of our lives, probably the problem is that people don't understand what's going on. They have no idea how we make money. They don't understand. Don't understand why he'd want to be here. And they always say like, so when are you going to go back to work? And it's been 4 years and he's like, I'm not. Why would I go? Like, and it's awkward. What do you say? Like, have you seen my bank account? Like, what do you say? You can't really say like,
right.
No. Like, so it's just kind of like, nope, everything's going well. It's people just don't understand us. So it's friendships have been very difficult, and that can put a tension on your marriage, I think, when all you have is each other. So that's probably our current, like we've been working through that. But other than that, like it's been really good. It's nice to be a team, like, you know, hey, I'll take baseball practice. You just, you know, you get this done or.
Right. You whatever. Truly get to be a team. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I love that. Okay. So before we wrap up, what is something that somebody could do today to really take action on this? Like, what would you suggest or what piece of advice would you say?
So I would say, first of all, get grounded with your why, like we talked about, like the science behind it, like understanding what the big deal is and why you need to move forward and give this, you know, give us a second thought. And then, you can find all that on my website too. Like I've got the studies there and like the core parts that you need to know. And then I would also say like, just start in the bathroom, because nobody really keeps sentimental items in their bathrooms. And it's just a really easy, like quick gutting that you can do. And it's humbling what you'll find in there. Mm-hmm. And it'll give you that like ammo that you need to like, okay, this is not okay. Like, it's not okay to have this much hair at the bottom of my drawer and like this eyeshadow from prom. Like,
I know the old makeup that is not even healthy to keep, that I'm like, but I didn't use it and it's still fresh. And no, it does. Throw it away.
Especially like when it's like MAC or something. Yes. Like, it's so hard to like throw it away, but it's unsanitary. Like it's not good. You've got a broken hair dryer in the back of your cabinet. Like, it's just an easy yes or no room. And you'll want to be in there when you're done because it's so clean and sparkly and it gives you that, like, I want my house to feel like this. And one thing I always like to mention in interviews too is, like, just think about for the listener, like, I want you guys to think about how much money you spend on your rent or your mortgage. Like, think about the number right now and know, like, every 30 days you pay that. Like, every 30 days, like, do you even like where you live? Do you even like being there? Stop, like, wasting that money and just create a space that you want to come home to.
I love that. Well, especially when you work at home. I mean, a lot of my listeners work at home and I want to walk out of here and love the space that I'm in. So I think that's just so important. Now, where can we find more about you? And the course that I purchased came from the challenge. What is that called? Is it Your Uncluttered Home?
Yeah, Your Uncluttered Home is kind of like the big mama. Like, it's like the one that everyone knows me for. There's like 10,000 people in there. It's really been neat. It's grown so much. That's the one that will do all this for your home. And then Unburdened is the one that does this, like, for your life and your schedule.
Okay. Got it. Yeah. And I basically, every Saturday in January is when I kind of tackled your course. Like, that's what I did. And honestly, within week 5 or 6, I mean, we haven't had to touch, I mean, little maintenance here and there, and it's been amazing. So I could not recommend it more. You guys go check her out. What's your website? Where are you on social? I want to make sure they know to find you.
Yeah, so it's just alicasaza.com. And on social, find me on Instagram because I'm the most active there and I kind of use the stories as sort of like a daily vlog and give like simplicity tips and stuff.
Perfect. Ali, thank you so much for being here. I appreciate everything you are doing and I hope people have so many takeaways and not just that, but take action today. So thank you again.
Thank you. Thank you.
And that's it for another episode of Foot Traffic. But don't worry, if you're craving more business building guidance, I've got 2 places to send you. First, be sure to join our free Facebook group at foottraffic.club. You'll get support from other small business owners just like you, plus exclusive content from me. And if you're looking for more actionable advice and step-by-step resources for getting more people in the door, head over to foottrafficpodcast.com. It's time we take your business to the next level.